We're going to shift gears here a little bit. And, you know, we can have fun as a body of believers, can't we? It's good. It's good to have fun. It's exciting. And doing things. We can have fun. You know what's so much more fun? When you know that you've done your job. You know what I'm saying? You can sit out there like, man, Sunday afternoons you come home, you're sitting there, and if your grass is this tall, it's just not the same, is it? It's just like, and you come home and your bedroom's just trashed and you're tired, and you come home and but when your work is done, there's just that, relaxed feeling, and it's just, hey, man, what do you guys want to do? As I tell my family, okay, everything's done, let's go do something, right? When you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, the other part's that much more enjoyable. So on Sundays, when we come together, you know what it is? It's Monday through Saturday. We're out there doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm not just talking about doing your job. I'm talking about kingdom work. Because then we can come here and go, whew, all right. Did what I'm supposed to do. I can worship God. Thank you for what you're going to do. God, I need, can you help me this week? I'm going out and doing this and this. And then we sing. Man, it's just so much different when you've done what you're supposed to do. Now, if you haven't, then that's a total different thing. You come and say, God, help me. I didn't do what I was supposed to do this week, but I can still worship you because your grace is sufficient. I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. You're faithful and just to forgive me, and I'm going to keep moving on. We've all had weeks like that, too. Because I can go home right now, and if I see my grass tall, I mean, okay. So, we need to get things done. This coming Thursday, there's a September 11th. There's something about that date since 2001 that kind of conjures up images and emotions and feelings, I think, that we have all had. You'll see on the screen, there's images of the Twin Towers in downtown Manhattan. If you've ever been there, it's an incredible thing to see, even what they have done since then. We were there just a couple years ago. I remember the day that it happened. I remember watching it on TV. My wife called me. I was at a job site. She goes, you got to see this. There's something going on. No one knows what's going on. This building just caught on fire. As within a few minutes I was home, there's a second airplane, and you could actually see it. If you guys remember, it was like slow motion. It's like, what is going on? What is happening? Over those next 12, 14 hours, all the news and information that was coming out, and the images of the people not just running out of the building, but it was the images of the people running into the building that sticks with me. Close to 4,000 people perished that day in those two towers. 343 of them were firemen. The ones who went in to save those who were on fire, to save those who are going to be lost forever if they didn't go in. If you were there the following Sunday at church, I don't know if you remember, there seemed to be a little spike in attendance. Do you guys remember? Come on. The end is near. This is what's going on. Everyone flooded to the church. If you knew what was a little Bible or not much Bible at all, I mean, I'm telling you, the churches were packed. And then they found out, well, I guess it's not the end. And it went back to as it always was. As it always was. People then began to preach over the next couple of months, but this is God's judgment, and, you know, it must have been bad people in that building, and he was targeting people, and there's just damage and different things got in the way. And I'm gonna direct your attention to something here today. In Luke 13, this is Jesus speaking. Luke 13, this is in the Amplified. And what is happening in this passage right now is people had gone to the synagogue and they were praying and offering sacrifices. And the Bible doesn't go into great detail, but we know as they're offering sacrifices, there was a scuffle and people got into it. And Pilate had sent some people there and he roughed some people up. Some people had died and they had blood. Their blood was actually spilled inside the sacrifices. So there was this holy thing going on in prayer. But then some people did something. They were murdered and killed and it was mixed up with the sacrifices. So this is what's happening. This is just a foreshadowing of the story. It says, just at that time, there arrived some people who informed Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And he replied by saying to them in verse 2, do you think that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they had suffered in this way? Now, to understand the context also of who those who came to him in verse 1, they were saying, hey, did you see and hear what happened? These people must have been really bad for this to happen. They must be really bad. And that's what Jesus said, hey, do you think these are greater sinners than everyone else? Is this why you're saying this to me? And then verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, change your mind for the better, and heartily amend your ways with abhorrence of your past sins, or being repulsed by your past sins, you will all likewise perish and be lost eternally. Wow, that's a turnaround, isn't it? Hey, I came to tell on some people and say, hey, look at them, and you turned it around. Wasn't Jesus good at that? You know, that's what the word does for us. We come telling him all our complaints about everybody else, and he goes, whoop. He's good. Verse 4. In case they didn't get the first example, he gives them a second one. Or those 18 of whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think they were more guilty offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, verse 5, no. But unless you repent, change your mind for the better, heartily amend your ways, with abhorrence of your past sins, you will all likewise perish and be lost eternally. He says twice the same thing. Listen, you need to do this, this, and this. We all need to do that. You're saying because they died differently than you thought they should die, or that differently than maybe your parents died or your family, that there's sometimes they're worse off than you, or sometimes you're better than they are because they died differently. Well, here's the news. We're all going to die unless Jesus comes before you die. And we're not going to judge one another because how we died or because we had more sin. If someone got in a car accident, that means they had more sin in their life. It means they died and they had two places to go, heaven or hell. If someone died in a coal mine, it doesn't mean God's bringing more judgment on them. It means they are appointed once to die and they get to choose heaven or hell. They get to choose that. But you and I have the responsibility to tell them there's two choices. I'm not saying, well, you know, brother, your situation, you know what, you're just a terrible guy. And that's just God's. No, they have no idea they're going to heaven or hell, and we're judging what they're doing. It has nothing to do with that. Why? Jesus said so. They don't even know. We have to tell them, amend your ways, change the how you think mentality, follow Christ. And guess what? Let's the same thing will happen to us. This is Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon is a quote. Charles Spurgeon, great pastor, theologian, wrote commentaries. You might have some of his books, devotionals. I love his stuff. He lived from 1830s to the 1890s. And this is a quote. If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with their arms around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, of our workings, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. As we begin this focus on evangelism, I don't want you to think, well, I'm saved and that's all that matters. I got my thing. I'm just working out my own thing with Jesus right now. I'm just trying to get better. Working on your thing with Jesus is telling other people about Jesus. That's working on your thing as well. Don't limit it to, this, you know, I'm just trying to be a better person. I'm trying to be a better person. I'm just trying to be a better person. I'm just trying to be, you know how you can be a better person for Jesus? Tell other people about Jesus. Revelations 3:13. John said, this is the end of time, last church that's mentioned in the Bible. This is what's going to look like at the time of the end. How can we hear? Who he can hear? Let him listen to and heed what the Holy Spirit says to the assembly, to the churches. Oh, who's the church? You and I. And to the angel, the messenger of the assembly in Laodicea, they are the words of the Amen, the trusty, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning, and the author of God's creation. I know your record of works. I know what you're doing. Jesus, I know what you guys are doing. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Whew. Sounds like we're supposed to be hot. What do you think? He doesn't want us lukewarm. If we're cold, we can identify that person's cold. But if we're playing the part of something, it's hard to tell because you're lukewarm. You're coming to church, you're saying some scriptures, you're going to a Bible study, but you're not really doing it. See, he says, I know your works. I know what you're doing. The word says, I know you by your fruit. I can see what you're doing. I'm not looking for perfect people. I'm looking for people who are perfecting in their faith. I'm looking for people who are striving to be holy as I am holy. So what's the tie-in? What's the tie-in then to 9/11? What's the big deal? Well, there was people who were called. There were firemen who were called to do something. And they were instructed to go do something to save people from fire. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget himself, lose sight of himself. Is everyone understanding that? Isn't that interesting? He goes really specific here. Lose his own interest, refuse and give up on himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, the original text says, mimic me. Cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, if need be, in dying also. See, there's an action step and steps to following Christ. It's not about, I know more Bible than you know. I wore a what would Jesus do bracelet. So much better than you are. Hopefully that thing won't fall on you because, what sin were they committing? I go to church and as Christians, we all know that we can get like that. But firemen are asked to do something. See, when I was a builder, I was a general contractor, I was asked, before you can build on your own, you need to go get a builder's license. So in order to get that builder's license, I did some six classes. I did six classes at night. I went for 4 hours a night for 6 weeks just to help me in case I didn't know. I'd already built, but they wanted me to have a builder's license. All right. I'd already built like 8 homes at the time for somebody. It was like, okay, let's build his license. There's about 23 people in that class, 18 of which, when asked who is going to actually build a house once they get a builder's license, 18 said no. Why would you do all of that if you're never going to build? Why would you sit there for 4 hours a night for 6 weeks, go downtown to Detroit, take a test that takes 6 to 8 hours, 2 parts, spend all that money, and never build? I just thought it would just be nice to have. Just nice to have license. You know how many people have builder's license and have never built? There's a lot of people. There are people with law degrees who don't practice law. There are people with insurance degrees that don't sell insurance. There's a lot of people who have real estate who don't sell any real estate. When I became a pastor, I had to go back to school. Came ordained to the Assemblies of God. I had to go back to college. I had to do all my school and learning. It's like, why do I have to do this? I already know the Bible. He says, no, as part, if you want to be ordained, if you want to have this, you're going to go to school. See, I had the credentials. I have my credentials right now. I have a little card that carries around and says, I can preach. But it doesn't say if I've done anything with it. See, a license doesn't say you've done anything. It just says you know how to do it. Boy, that was good. As a Christian, it doesn't mean I've witnessed to one single person. It's what it's supposed to mean. But people tell you, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Hey, can you tell me about any of you witnessed to or discipled? No. Hey, I heard you had a builder's license. Yeah, you want to build a house? Sure. Have you built it before? No. I don't want that person building my house. Your piece of paper means nothing unless you've done it. What you say means nothing unless you've done it. There was 343 firemen who gave up their lives that day. I am so thankful. I am so thankful that they didn't stand out there and say, whoo, fire. I am not going in there. But dude, you're a fireman. No, I have the fireman hat, I have the fireman coat, and I got the big shiny red truck. And I practice, I know how to use the hose, and I went to all the training. But you know what? Dude, that's a big fire. I am not going in there. Why? Because it could cost me something. It could cost my life. But you're saying, but that's what you signed up for. You said you'd be a fireman. You said you would risk your life. You said you would actually go in to prevent people from being burnt up in a fire. I know, but when it comes down to it, I just like the uniform. Everybody likes firemen. It's just a thing to say. I mean, that's all my friends are firemen. And I'd just be, man, can you imagine pulling up? And people would say, paper, rock, scissors, dude, who's going in? Chief, do we really have to go in there? Isn't it good enough we just showed up in our truck and people see us? Let's just like squirt some water on them from a really far away distance. One of the stories from 9/11, it was ladder 14, came from one of the captains. He was giving instructions to his men looking at the building, knowing thousands of people needed to be saved from fire. He said, I don't know how safe the building was. And as he began to continue speaking, they could tell how fearful he was. He says, I'm fearful for you, men. This is not an ordinary job. I don't know if everyone's going to come back the same. There was a long break in silence, and someone cut in and says, Chief, I will go, send me. It said, as the one person broke ranks and said, I'll do it, looking at the fire, it said, everyone else started to follow in right after him. And it said, all of a sudden, fire trucks from all over, you see all these men, once one person took the break and said, I'll do this, it said, all of them just started rushing in at that one moment. See, they were contemplating, I know what I'm trained for, I know what I've been studying, I know I've been through, oh, how many Bible studies, I've just been through this, and my parents were Christians and I was Christian. It's like, have you ever saved one from the fire? Well, no, do we have to do that to be a Christian? When Jesus said, if you want to mimic me, follow me, go make disciples. It's a command. It's an imperative mode. Command, go. Go do this. Go. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John, oh my goodness. He's commanding us to go do something. I'm not trying to condemn you if you've never done that today. I'm saying today is the day that you break free and you put on your little fireman's outfit and you go out there and you save some people who are in fire. This is the day where it changes. Isaiah 6:8. He said, I heard the voice of the Lord. I heard the voice of the Lord. Ooh, I read the voice of the Lord. I hear it. I see it. I've heard it preached. Saying, whom shall I send? And who shall go for us? Then said I, here I am. Send me. Just like the firemen who people are waiting, who's going to do this? Who's going to do what we were trained to do? We go out. I'm telling you, it's so much easier when we're all a part of going saving people from the fire. Some people had 30 years on the force. Some people had 3 months. There was someone who died in that fire who's on the job for 3 days. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. What matters is, are you going to be obedient to Christ? That's what matters. The guy who said, I got 50 years in, you guys go. No, there's people with so much experience that died in that fire. I want the guy who says, I am true to the end. It doesn't matter if I fought fires 30 years ago, I'm fighting fires today. I'm still fighting. Every single day is a fight. Lord, send me. Those firemen who gave up their lives are not remembered for how much they had in the bank. They're not remembered for the truck that they drove to work. They're not remembered for how many kids they have. They're not remembered for anything else other than did they come in to save those who were on fire. That's all they're remembered for. They're remembered for, they followed the duty that they swore to uphold, that I will do this, that I will do this. On occasion, you'll see this, says the Good Shepherd. This is occasionally I will go to here. This is where my father's buried in Novi, right by 12 Oaks. I go there sometimes, I just get away. I look at that and I think about that. My mom and I picked out the Garden of the Good Shepherd. He was a pastor. The Garden of the Good Shepherd. See, he had so many things. I know I talked to him when he was in high school and he dreamed and all these things that he wanted to do for himself. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. He was a stud football guy and he was going to go play football at Michigan State. And the day before it happened, he said, the day before he was supposed to sign with Muddy Waters, he said, you know what? God's telling me to do something else. And I'm not telling you all have to go in the ministry. I'm saying if God tells you to put on the fireman outfit and put on the hat, you got to go in. He's going to change the way you're thinking and the way you lead your everyday life. At his tombstone, it says, Reverend Jack Reed Williams. The reverend means to be revered. He's been revered not because of all the things he accomplished in his life for himself, raising his kids and having cars. He's to be revered because he followed Christ. All of us on the day, if we pass away, if our bodies die before Jesus comes back, wouldn't it be great for us to have revered? Not by man, but by God. I want to be revered by the one who created me and said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done, thy good, faithful servant. We have choices to make every single day. Are we going to go into a burning fire, a burning building? This next picture you're going to see is the firemen, as they're going towards the building, they know what they're walking into. They see its fire, the smoke, they hear the screams, yet they still walk towards it. They still walk towards it. I got a book yesterday. Help me, I need a miracle. There was a woman that Kelly and I met and her family back in 2006. She just published a book. She had an incredible story about the prayer of a faithful wife and a faithful mother. 2006 in September, she moved from Chicago down to Fort Myers. They were very well-to-do. Husband drove an S-Class. Mercedes had several businesses. They went to church together when they could on Sundays. She went by herself often. Three boys occasionally. Dad, hit and miss. He'd given his heart to the Lord in his early 20s, and that was about it. Revelations 3. I see your works. She said after 30 years of that, it was just too much. I prayed for Charlie all the time. I would pray for him. So we finally had to get away from all the things. We moved to Fort Myers, and she started coming to church where I was a church about 3,000 that I was pastoring at, associate pastor. And for whatever reason, through the midst of all those people, she started coming to Sunday school class. I met Charlie, and I was counseling with him and his 18-year-old son. She had three sons, one addicted to drugs, one who was in a Christian college addicted to drugs, and the other one didn't want to have anything to do with anything in his family. And we all have one of those people, right? It's like y'all are all messed up. You know what I'm talking? Come on. Everyone's got families. There's some going on with this one, some going on with this, some other. And then there's one said, I don't want to do nothing with any of you. So she was dealing with this as a mom. And she came in, she goes, can you just talk to Charlie. So it's like, hey, Charlie, tell me what's going on, man. Hey, what's happening? Tell me about your life. As he began to share, and his son came in, Ryan. He came in there, and I'm not betraying confidence, it's in the book. As we sat there and began to talk, I noticed some stuff started falling off. He had revelation to some things. We just started talking about his life, but then lining up with the word. What does the word have to say? Within 6 months, things started to change. Now it's 2007, and he started working in the coffee shop at the church and doing all those things. It's like, she goes, what is going on with my husband? He, likes church people. You know, there are people, you know what, church people are sometimes tough, aren't they? You can say amen to that. I enjoyed that. Okay. Church people can be tough. And he didn't want to be around church people. But all of a sudden, he saw people differently than ever before. So in May of 2007, him and I went out to lunch on a Friday. He said, I finally get it. I go, what's that? He goes, I finally get it. He goes, I have never, ever done anything than to confess Jesus with my lips and nothing since then. I've been living a lie and living wrong. 2 days later, on a Sunday night, he got water baptized. He stood there in May, Sunday night, stood there in the water tank. He said, I want to publicly apologize to my wife. I've put her through living hell for 30 years. Telling everybody I was a Christian, but living the opposite way that I should. He goes, into my three boys, I'm sorry if I've led you astray. I'm your father. It's my responsibility. Everyone's bawling. Everyone's crying. If you can imagine that sanctuary. Whew, it was tough. 3 days later, on my way back from Tampa, it was about midnight, get a call in the car. I'm almost back into Fort Myers. She said, Pastor Grant, can you come? Charlie's having a heart attack. 53 years old. Came to his house, 2 minutes before I arrived, died, heart attack, laying in his bed. As the all the work that was going on with him, paramedics, two of the sons were there. She sat there with her hands in her head just crying, but with a smile on her face. And sometimes that's shock. Sometimes, you know, you just don't know. I said, Judy, put my arm around her. She said, Pastor Grant, thank you. So what? She said, 5 days ago, Charlie's not in heaven. She said, my family is not that great. I know that drug addiction, away from God. She said, but you thought enough of us in our fiery household to want to get involved. She said, you counseled with us, you hung out with us, you went to lunch with my boys, you prayed with them. There is fires going on all around us. There's people who are in terrible situations with how they're living right now. But as Christians, we're sitting back debating, should I get involved? I know I'm a Christian, but I don't know, man. That situation, it's the same thing as the fireman who's been trained to go in, sitting back, wondering or not if he should go into a burning building. As Charles Spurgeon said, if they're going to go, they're going to go over me trying to pull them not from going to hell. I'm going to do whatever I can possible to prevent them, to stop them from going to hell. I'm going to pray, I'm going to minister, I'm going to meet with them, and I'm going to talk with them. Because this next picture, you're going to see a fireman, when he wasn't able to help, the next picture, he wasn't able to help someone that said, this man right here, this fireman, he said when he brought back the life, he thought he saved it, but it was lost. You and I should be mourning over those that we're losing. But it doesn't stop and prevent us to go back to the next picture. We should still move on because there are those we are still going to save. The word says we don't stop because we throw down the seed, but we keep going. But we mourn over those that are lost, but we don't paralyze us and we don't stop from ministering the gospel. We continue on because there's people who need saving. And this is what the fireman does. He goes in and sometimes the circumstances are overwhelming, but he did his part. Do not judge whether or not if you run in the building, you can save anybody or not. You run into that building. There's too many Christians who sit back and go, I don't know if I can do anything. With God, all things are possible. Luke 21 says, don't think in advance what you're going to say. It says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will open up your mouth and he will tell you what to say. Why? Because you've been studying his word. You've been feeding on this. See, I can go into a fire because this puts out anything that's going to come up against me. When we get to heaven, we're going to have to stand before God one day. We're going to get a count for every single thing we did. Do we stand by and watch people burn, or did we try to prevent them? Did we try to prevent them? One of the greatest things you could ever do is to prevent people from passing away. I love the police, the firemen, all that they do. They put their lives on the line. They do it. It's not about the pay for them. It's about what they're doing. It's the saving of lives. You and I as Christians have no greater calling than to save other lives. Once you're saved, you're in, right? Now work on your salvation, fear and trembling. Do what you're supposed to do. They'll know you by the works. Galatians, habitually get rid of those things. Man, you're working on that. At the same time, I am telling other people about Jesus Christ and the story that I'm at. You are not going to be perfect, and never wait till you're perfect to tell someone about Christ, because then you'll never tell him about Christ, because I will never be made perfect until I see him in glory. I am continually working out my salvation, and I'm growing in the knowledge of who he is, and my divine nature changed in 2 Peter. But when I see him, that's when I'll be made perfect. You cannot use excuse, I'm not perfect, until you see the kingdom. But you can say, God, give in me that hunger to go see people and save them from the fire. So ushers, I'm going to ask you to prepare to come forward right now as soon as you're ready. We're going to take communion, and we're going to close today. They're going to be excused as they're getting communion. What is communion for? He said to do this as often as you can in remembrance of what I did for you at the cross. What did he say in the passage that we read in Luke? He said that you and I are supposed to forget ourselves, right? We're supposed to forget our old way. We're supposed to put our thoughts, our ideas, what I want to do behind. What I want to do is behind. I'm going to die. I'm going to come to the cross. I'm going to pick up my cross. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to mimic God. Come on forward, servers, as soon as you're ready. What this is a remembrance of is that oath that you took when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you said, I'm repulsed by my old sinful nature, and I never want to go. I have abhorrence towards the way I was. And God, I want to follow you. I want to mimic your son. I want to do every single thing that he's told me to do. You can begin passing out. In 1 Corinthians, it says, this we do. As Jesus broke the bread, he says, don't do this unworthily. Church, you have to remember your calling, your oath that you took is to follow Christ, to go make disciples. Well, I don't know how to do that, Pastor Grant. You know what? There's teaching going on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. There is things you can get involved in, ministries you can be involved in. There are people in this church who want to help you. But if you and I would just do that, what we already know what to do, what the scripture says, you know how different it would be? Well, if everyone brought one person, I'm not into the numbers of it. I'm just saying you and I are going to have to stand before God one day. I don't care about anybody else. You know what I'm concerned about? I'm concerned about you. My calling is for you. For me to sit here and talk about everybody else, no, you're going to stand before God one day and you're going to have to give an account. What did you do? Did you pray for your brother? Did you pray for your sister? Well, yeah, I pray every day that they'll see Jesus. Did you pray that you can be used in a mighty way to bring them to the cross? Who wants to be a fireman this morning for Jesus? I want to be a fireman. Ray, just hold on. Just hold your hands up. This isn't for me. God's just doing a little house checking today. He just wants to see who's with him. For those of you who have your hands raised, there's an oath that you take when I'm following Christ. There's an oath. You put your hands down. You put your hand on that Bible just like you would before a court as a witness to what you're about to do. I put my hand on the Bible and I raise my hand as an oath. And I say, this is what I'm going to do. This is the truth. This is what I will do. Whether that means the ministry for you, whether that means a different job for you, this is not even what it's about today. This is about everyone should have their fire suit with them at all time. Don't be afraid to get involved in someone's life. Don't be afraid. Chris Compa, when you came up this morning, say, hey man, my last 10 years of my life are totally different. Thank you to this church of this body of believers. We could go around the room. I know Carol Ann and your family, you have a testimony in the last couple of years of what's been going on. We can all go around. We can go around and say, this is where I was at maybe 5 years, 10 years ago, and something happened, something changed. Somebody got involved in my life. There was just, you know, you have to want to do it. You can go pulling, but I'm telling you right now, those people in that fire, someone just sat there lifeless. They went in. Jude 23, you don't have to turn there, but Jude 23 says, go in and snatch them from fire. See, sometimes isn't it easy when someone says, I just want to come to Christ, help me. Oh, it's great. I love those. But it's the one who kick and scream and you have to meet with for 6 months like Charlie O'Halloran and argues with about every single scripture. Who don't have to tell your life is good and his boys are good and everything's fine. Only to find out 6 months later that it wasn't. I had to go snatch Charlie. See, some people come up running out of the building for you. Ooh, that's good. Whew. But you have to go snatch people from the fire, Jude 23. In his funeral. Oh, that was so awesome. Remember like it was yesterday, they flew me back to Chicago. As I shared his testimony, it was only been 6 months. He was a totally changed man. In 6 months, shared his testimony. I played the video to his 9 siblings and his wife's 9 siblings. Irish Catholic background of all his family, O'Halloran, in Chicago. They watched Charlie O'Halloran give his testimony in the water baptistry tank. As they sat there, 300 or 400 people just stunned, like, they began to realize something snatched Charlie. I spent 15 minutes on Charlie and 35 minutes on preaching a salvation message. 61 people raised their hand for salvation. It's in the book that she sent me. She wrote the whole book out, this whole book. She says, at that funeral, Pastor Graham prayed, 61 people raised their hand for salvation. One of them was Charlie O'Halloran's brother, who's a Catholic priest. You never know the story and unless you put on the fire suit and you go in to go save somebody. Her three boys raised their hands that day for salvation. One's on the missions field today. Get involved, man. It's not, I love it when it says, you're neither hot, I want you hot for me. When you go into a fiery building, it's hot. I want to be found in the middle of the mess of people's lives because that's where Jesus would be found. Let's take the bread together. A reminder of the covenant that you took. It's the new covenant, the new testament of his body, of what you said you would do. Now for the remissions of sin, his blood that was shed for you and I wasn't just shed for anyone, just everyone in this sanctuary. It was shed for every single person. We have to tell them, let's take the cup together. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I know it's challenging. I know it's hard. Sometimes the word does cut sharper than a two-edged sword. And Father, just for everyone understands here today, this isn't shame on you. You should be telling people, this is an encouragement. We can go do this together. Just one person needs to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Father, I want to hear the testimonies, and we already heard it. As Chris Campo came, how fitting was that? You knew what was going to happen. Chris didn't know what was going to happen today, but he came up and said, I want to thank this church for what it means to me. My life has totally changed because it's not the church building. It's Christ and the people of this church. Because when you be manifested in people, when they can see a changed life, see, people are looking for changed lives. A changed life is someone who doesn't sit at the curb while the fire is burning inside a house. Anyone who saw their neighbor's house on fire, they wouldn't sit back and say, I don't want to be involved. I never liked that neighbor anyways. They would run inside, your house is on fire. And if that person said, well, I don't need to be saved, then you snatch them out of that. Father, forgive me for the times I gave up on people. It's only until you tell me to move on that I move on. Not because I get frustrated, not because I don't think there's any hope, but until you call me away and say, let the next person go. You've spent that time there, now move on. Pray for family right here today. I'm just asking you right now, we're going to close. I just want you to start thinking about family and friends right now. Close friends to you and family. Father, the names of the people right now are on the minds of everyone in here right now. You know who they're thinking of. Even if they want to speak those names right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now for fire rescue to happen this week. I pray for firemen and firewomen from this church to go out and start not just praying for people, but being intentful, being mimickers of Christ. What could I do? What should I do? These are serious times. Time is so short. We're not even promised tomorrow, let alone the rapture could be at any second. I'm not even promised tomorrow. I'm 45 years old. I'm not promised tomorrow. I just know I'm going to be judged one day. I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to say, God, I'm sorry. I should have did more. As Paul told Timothy, I want to stir up that gifting that's within every single person here today. I know there's love that people have for their own family, but we need that love to overflow onto friends, people we see every single day. Father, thank you for your word today. And I know there's meat for us to chew on here today and to think about, what does that look like? How do I run into that building? Are there people all around me who are burning? What should I do? Even for those who are going to be listening later this week on podcasts, what you're thinking, well, what can I do? Maybe I'm a shut-in and I don't get out like I used to. I'm just physically not able right now. Well, then you be praying for other people. You pray for your own family. You call them on the phone. You use your email. You use Facebook. Whatever it is, you're gonna ask God for wisdom and what you can do in your current state that you're in. If you have any you're inhibited by anything, say, God, what can I do right now? What can I do to show you that I'm on fire for you? Lastly today, if there's anyone with your heads bowed, if there's anyone here today that says, Pastor, I'm actually that person in the building today. I'm actually that one in the building with it on fire. I don't know if I were to die today, if I would go to heaven or hell. I don't know how this would turn out. See, you don't have to try to figure that out. It's just, you just ask yourself, have I asked Jesus Christ in my heart? Am I following him? If you're here today and you're saying, I don't know where I would be. I don't know. I have no idea. I just want you to raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior, you've never asked him to take away your sins, you've never said, I want to be Lord of my life. Today's the day. It's my responsibility as a pastor over even this service here today to snatch you from the gates of hell, because you're not promised. Walking out this door, you're not promised. I don't see any hands raised, so we only have firemen in here right now. I'm speaking to the firemen right now. We're supposed to be leaving here today and going snatching people from the flames. Amen, church. So, Father, be with us as we go. I thank you for the spirit that was in here today. I thank you for the spirit and the opening of the ears to hear what the Spirit had to say to us today. May we go out here charged up, knowing when we have your word and you go before us, that fire can't harm us, but we run into that. We run into a fire to save those who are lost. And we come back just as those firemen were walking out together, the camaraderie we have, knowing we did our part. Knowing now on this Sunday, we can sit there and go, I can rest. I did all that I could this week. And I'm going to use this day of rest so I can go back out again tomorrow and go save some more who are lost. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you that you go before us. And we thank you for your son to die for us. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen.